Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Building a good football organization is about building a good culture club, right? Or building a brotherhood. We've heard so much about culture over the last 4 years, and then this year, it became about brotherhood, and the word culture wasn't really used all that much. Interesting. I was trying before the top of the hour, before I was told to go to break, is how I will label that, to get to a really, really good tweet that I, or X post, that I thought was really strong from Eddie D. He said, I would say the most underappreciated move of the Adam Peters era was the non-move to sign players and break the bank. He has been very smart with salary and contracted years, signing highly valued players without highly valued contracts. And here's how I would add to that. A couple of the multi-year deals that he signed guys to, Dorrance Armstrong, Tyler Biadasz, right? And a bunch of the other guys were on pretty much one-year contracts, including Bobby Wagner. I should say, Tyler Biadasz, Frankie Louvu, and Dorrance Armstrong were signed to multiple-year deals. But at pretty reasonable rates, I think, most people would have considered, even at the time, now even more so. The rest of the guys, Chin, Wagner, Dante Fowler, Cleland Farrell, guys of that ilk, guys of Olamide Zaccheaus, one-year deal. Zach Ertz, one-year deal. So they got really useful pieces and acquisitions and leaders for this team, to Eddie's point, without breaking the bank. But more importantly, or just as important, they resisted the urge to go out and make the big splash move, i.e. the Brandon Ayuk acquisition, which would have cost them money and draft pick compensation or personnel compensation.
It's not hard to fight the urge when you're in year one of a rebuild. So I don't give them too much credit for that. They're in year one. Calm down. You got to slow your horses there. Fighting the urge should have been easy, because in reality, you weren't expecting this.
No, but so, you know, a lot of first-year general managers, they want to make that splash. They want to.
Well, he ended up.
They want to try and go from zero to 60 in a snap of a finger.
Yeah, bad GMs do that.
Well, sure.
I mean, that's just
sure, but he should be given credit for it. It's not like we shouldn't recognize the fact that, again, they had the ability, if they wanted to go out and sign Brandon Ayuk. He knew Brandon Ayuk more than anyone else.
Why do you think they didn't do it?
Well, again, give him credit for that. I think.
I don't know how much. I get the point of what you're trying to say, but let's not go praise heavy on that decision.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Let's go out to the phones. Who do you want to start with, Linnell?
Why are you asking my input? Just take the call.
Okay. Let's get to Paulie. Why don't we? In the leadoff spot here. Hello, Paulie. How are you?
Hell to the W, baby. Oh, man. I'm in the leadoff spot? Yeah, man. Rest in peace to Ricky Henderson, man. The greatest leadoff hitter ever. You know what I mean? He cut from the same cloth.
Wait, you and Ricky Henderson are cut from the same cloth?
Yeah. We good at everything we do. Greatest.
Okay.
Hey, look, man.
And you guys accuse me of backpatting? Okay.
Okay, yeah. Because you know, we accuse you of being delusional. We accuse you of being a hypocrite. We accuse you of doing a lot of stuff that you say you don't do that you actually do. Like, 3 weeks ago, me and you just, we had a slap down, drag out, you know, body, belly to body suplex back and forth about this brotherhood thing that you said didn't matter. And now you come up here wanting to kiss on Adam Peters' ass the whole show and talk about brotherhood. Or they put together, they galvanized the team.
Really?
You said all that didn't matter.
Really? I said it didn't matter?
You said it didn't matter about us winning.
All right, go back and find the exact quote where I said it didn't matter. I said it may not matter as much as people think it does.
Did I say today that the only thing about hiring Dan Quinn was good was about the brotherhood thing?
I want you to speak in truth instead of accusing me of something that isn't real.
You stop speaking in denials. No. Right, how about that?
Okay.
You got the whole show to debunk what I say. You do. Matter of fact, you on other people's shows talking trash about me. All right. Now.
You better watch out. The timer's running here.
Okay, listen. Another underrated, not underrated, but you got to say just the autonomy Adam Peters gave Dan Quinn to hire the coaches he wanted. Because a lot of these guys are former head coaches and former coordinators. So I'm pretty sure they're not on the same pay scale as Anthony Lynn, the running back coach. I'm pretty sure he's making more money than a first, second-year running back coach out in, I'm just making this up, in Oakland or something like that. You know what I mean? So the fact that he was able to give him the coaches that he wanted, experienced coaches, and like Larry Izzo, one of the best special teams players ever. Look at our special teams, man. You know what I mean? They signed Nick Velour. You know, Nick Velour. They brought back Reeves. Everybody didn't want everybody thought that Jeremy McNichols was going to make the team. People wanted Wally. And these are all, they all had hell of a years on special teams. And our special teams have been setting the tone all year long. The kicking game. You know, we signed McManus. And then come to find out the idiot drunken kicker couldn't keep his hands to himself on a flight and put us behind an eight ball. Then they bring in Siebert, who just goes out and goes 7-for-7 and win a game for the Giants. You know, he get hurt and they bring in OCD Zane Gonzalez, who won a game for us. You know what I mean?
All right.
So Adam Peters has been on the board all, you know, he's been doing his job, man. And like you said, Rooster, he's not gonna get everything right. He's not. But you ain't gotta make up scenarios to prove the stuff that he got wrong. We don't know about that Trey Lance stuff. We don't know nothing about that. Because the whole thing was, you remember the reports was there was friction between Cal and Lynch about Lance or Matt Jones. So what side were Adam Peters on? We don't know that. So you got to make stuff up to say the man going to make mistakes. Of course he's going to make mistakes. But he's done a hell of a job with us. And then one last thing, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Who in the hell thought it was a good idea to send Chris Ruffin to Detroit? Huh? We already got the whole state of Michigan, the whole city of Detroit on our damn back. And now you're going to send another dude, another negative guy to Detroit who's actually supposed to be on our side? Man, you talking about sleeping with the enemy. Who came up with that bright idea?
Paulie.
Jesus, man. Hey,
Paulie.
Don't you ever call Doug Williams. Linnell, don't you ever call Doug Williams a renaissance quarterback, bro.
I didn't mean it that way. Paulie, you get what I was trying to say.
I know you didn't.
You get what I was trying to say.
I know you didn't, but still, did you said it? You got to face the music. Don't ever call Doug Williams a renaissance quarterback, bro. He in the ring of fame for two organizations, and the only reason why he ain't in the Hall of Fame because they shut him down back when they – try to shut down black quarterback.
Okay.
Period.
All right. Goodbye, Paulie. I've had enough. Oh, my God. You two are going to be the end of me.
I had said nothing. I wanted to see how long you would let the call go for.
Well, sorry. Again. You know, if you're going to take calls, you give people a chance to talk, right? I mean, we don't do 28 seconds a call here. Just a different philosophy than everyone else. This show is not cookie cutter radio. Maybe it's too long. Maybe it's not your style. I ain't doing 28 seconds of radio. A call. I'm not doing it. Otherwise, don't take the damn calls. It's not like you have anything really interesting
to
say.
Nothing. I'm trying to let you continue, and you keep doing this thing.
I understand, but you said trying to see how long you let the call.
Who cares? Why do you have to acknowledge everything that's said? I don't acknowledge everything you say because some of it comes out of your ass.
Really? Okay. All right. Just curious. Let's get to Kenny in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Kenny. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to hear the freak show up there today. Listen, I got three quick points. One of them is very poignant, but remember pre-draft, Adam Peters was talking to somebody from another organization on the phone, and they wanted him to trade out a two. And he just kind of very mousy said, well, I'm going to take the quarterback.
Yeah.
So that was the
I think that was the Giants.
Right
that, was it the Giants? I can't remember if that was.
I want to say it was Philly, but.
Well,
but
he
anyway,
made the trade. He made the trade with Philly at 40 to go down
Vegas.
To 50 and 53.
Vegas
maybe it was Vegas. Maybe
hard.
It was Vegas. You might be right.
Yeah, but he just said, "Nah, we're going to sit where we are and take the quarterback." So that was the one thing. The second thing I think is the most important. We as fans cried about offensive linemen for a couple years now, and this guy took a starting left tackle 10 years in Coleman. And with the third round pick, I mean that's just stealing from the cover right there.
I mean I would
be let's just slow down on.
Yeah, I would say this. I don't know. Yeah,
veteran at left tackle. He may not even be a left tackle.
Well, I tell you what, he'll be starting on our line for the next 10 years. Somewhere.
I would agree. He'll be he'll definitely be contributing. It's just a question whether it's at left guard or right tackle, perhaps. I mean it could be left tackle. We'll
have to realize with. You got to realize with Coleman, we've seen the worst of him because he's a rookie. He's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is I got in an argument with a guy the other day, and he says, the Lions are going to run you out of the gym. And I said, I'll tell you what, though, if they don't, they better not give us the ball back with 3 minutes left and down six. Because the game is over.
Everyone should have known it before Sunday night that – and we said it on the show last week, I think it was last Thursday, I said, you know, the one thing that I have the most confidence in is if you're like within a score and you give Jaden Daniels the ball late in the game, and I didn't think it would be with 4 minutes and 40 seconds and they would kill every second, but that's how masterful really sometimes this team is in these spots. And Kenny, appreciate the phone call, is they had 4:40 on the clock. They only needed a field goal. They barely got the field goal. But they killed every damn second of that clock. And that's essentially part of the win. That's essentially part of the win. How they operated, how they were able to navigate those. And Dan Quinn deserves credit for that. Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels obviously does. I mean, the whole offense does. Because they had to execute as a unit, and it wasn't exactly pretty. I mean, De'Ami Brown on that 3rd and 6th on the dig across the middle, for 21 or whatever it was, where he's got the two, spies dropping out. I mean, you know, this is all part of how they win football games late, is they, not that they don't make mistakes, but as a unit, they have pretty good poise.
They don't make
in those spots.
I think you were right when you said it at first. They don't make mistakes. They're able to milk clock and bleed clock because they're playing relatively mistake-free football.
Relatively mistake-free football. Yeah. I mean,
a 0-yard gain is not a mistake.
That's fair. I mean, but I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, play, if you look back on all of their
run? How many offensive snaps did they run Sunday?
Overall.
Five negative plays, and one of them was a kneel down.
Yeah. I'd have to double. Yeah, right. I'd have to double check. Right.
Damn near mistake-free football, Chris. Well, and that's the thing that I think we kind of disagree on. I don't think you think it's possible.
69 offensive plays.
And you had 5 negative plays, Chris. You know how absurd that is?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, pretty darn good. I don't know if it was just 5.
You want to go back and count?
I mean, we could.
I did. That's why I'm not pulling the number out of my ass.
I mean, you know, like they were, they operated with a level of efficiency that they don't always, even during this now six-game stretch that they don't always operate with. The penalties were a lot lower. What they did they have a penalty? They had a penalty in the first half. It was on the defensive pass interference on Mike Evans. That I think that was their first penalty of the game.
That negated a touchdown. They had one offensive penalty, it felt like, the entire night.
But that was in the was that in the third quarter? I can't remember when that was.
Bottom line, that was the one on Wiley, right? They've sliced it a considerable amount. Yeah. They're not committing penalties. They're going to continue to not commit penalties. And I think they have unearthed something that is going to maybe change the way offenses function in the National Football League. They are straight up telling you, they're giving a big middle finger to the run game, and they're running with this pass, this ball control passing offense, and it's working to perfection, and it's why they're going to go to Detroit Saturday and win.
I don't know if they're giving a middle finger to the run game. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury just an hour ago on my way in was talking about how Dan Quinn being a defensive coach reminds him that he's got to be able to run the ball more and run the ball when he doesn't ideally want to, because there's value in it. There's value in it, which is all I've been screaming about for years and years and years, is that even when the numbers don't always equal the success you would like, that there's value in it. And that's exactly what Cliff Kingsbury said an hour ago. And for, you know, you like to everything that they say and treat it as gospel. I mean, there are times where he's telling you, hey, we are going to have to, whether we have the success we would like or not, we are going to have to run Brian Robinson. We are going to have to try and
when
slam
When he's averaging
it.
1.6 yards a pop, you're not going to keep running him, Chris, and they stopped running him.
I understand they only ran it 10 times with him, but then they sprinkled in other guys into the mix a little bit as well.
The bottom line is, I don't care what he says at the podium, the run game is not really valid. You can't sit there and watch and sit there and say that the running game has been super valuable to them over the past month. It hasn't.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But the notion that they're going to come out against an Aaron Glenn blitzing man-heavy defense
on
the road
and
just run Jaden Daniels 28 times is not happening.
It's not what anyone has said.
I mean, well,
Detroit is a team that you would be able to have success running the ball against because they don't have the horses up front that Tampa has.
But then what did you say? Because maybe I misinterpreted.
It's about staying ahead of the sticks.
Of course. But you said something about revolutionizing the fact that the short passing game, ball control passing offense, which I would agree largely that, yes, that is what they're good at. Yes. During this stretch, they're not good at running the football, the natural run game. But my point would be, is you can't just walk into Detroit or Tampa Bay last Sunday and say, oh, we're not good at doing this, so we're not even going to try. We're not even going to make an attempt. And then, again, and I agree with you, you have to take some of what they say at the podium with a little bit of a grain of salt. But Cliff Kingsbury is telling you, hey, man, we're not just going to drop back and throw 45 times a game. If we run 69 plays, we can't drop back even in quick game, even in the short passing game, which operates for a lot of teams in the mentality as a run game. Got it. We can't do that 62 times out of 69 snaps. Or if we're going to run 65 snaps, we can't do it 55 times out of 65. So you're going to have to take some negative hits. You're going to have to take some zero gains. You're going to have to take some two-yard gains in order to chip, 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 chip away so that they can't pin their ears back or so that you hold off the horses a little bit. And I think that was a big part of Sunday night's win against an uber-aggressive defense.
They figured out their formula. They can win in multiple ways. I happen to believe it's super sustainable, and it's going to be things that other teams may try to mimic in terms of just the play style. But not everybody can do it. You can't have the MAs. You can't have negative plays. You've got to have outstanding individual effort, and your quarterback can't get bored making routine throws.
I don't think he's getting. Yeah, I don't.
No,
I don't think
at
he's
times
getting.
He's
bored.
Gotten bored
yeah.
making routine throws throughout the year. You damn
maybe,
right he has.
Maybe I.
But he doesn't normally.
I mean, I don't know how we determine
bored.
That.
That's passing up a check down and pushing the ball somewhere else. That's getting bored.
Well, don't know if that's getting bored other than making a decision.
It's the wrong decision.
Well, I mean, you can make a wrong decision. You're allowed.
It's not, you can't have. I guess my point is, I don't know if that's getting bored. 17 play touchdown drive that eats up 9 minutes of clock making wrong decisions. It doesn't happen.
I would agree largely. With
okay,
that.
That's
so. So he wasn't. I guess what you're saying is he wasn't bored on that particular drive.
He hasn't
but he's
been
bored on
bored
other
doing
drives
it the entire time that they functioned this way. This has been the last month of the season they functioned possessing the ball more than the other team. Mm. Like that's been how they've won games, is it not?
Yeah. But not just by the short passing game, is my point.
A lot of it's been the short passing game.
You know, it's been a mix. I think it's been a mix. But I would also say, again, the notion, and you said this last week, that, and I disagreed, the notion that they should basically, in lieu of a natural running game, just short passing, yes, you should do more of what works. Yes, you should do more of what your offense is good at. For whatever reason, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's Brian Robinson, I don't know that they're not hitting on all cylinders since the Tennessee game and the natural run game. So yes, you should do more of that. My point is even if you have to take a couple of 1 yard gains on first and 10, and get into second and 9. You can't completely abandon the natural run game, the physical element of the run game, because it keeps defenses honest. It keeps them just maybe a split second from getting off the line of scrimmage and pinning their ears back and coming after you like a bunch of crazed dogs because they know what's coming or they know what's not coming. And that's my point, is that you have to, over the course of a football game, have some level of patience and not get bored or not get frustrated by the results. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, back in a flash. We'll obviously transition more into the game as we go along, including what is one key area, what is one thing that has to happen for the Commanders to win this game? One thing that has to happen for the Commanders to win. I know mine will surprise some people, and I'm sure it will frustrate my co-host today, but I will pass it along nevertheless on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Commanders are still on the practice field, but as they get ready for Saturday night, there's so many little subplots and sub-stories to this game. Dan Campbell and Dan Campbell Jr., a.k.a. Dan Quinn. Ben Johnson saying, they're pretty high on themselves. They're basketball guys, supposedly, according to Jenna Lane of ESPN, a couple of weeks after Ben Johnson called while they were in midair on their way to interview both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, who they ultimately did not hire. And, of course, because Ben Johnson pulled himself out of not only the Commanders, but also all head coaching opportunities. So there's so many different little subplots. There's didn't something happen with De'Ami Brown and Detroit? I don't remember exactly what it was. I have to look it up.
Something that's irrelevant that he had no business getting upset at because he was not producing at that point in time.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe there's a little motivation there. I don't know. Here's one for you. You know, last year at this time, Zach Ertz was a member of the Detroit Lions organization.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play, was on the practice squad. Zach Ertz. Think about that. Mm-hmm. As they were on their way to the conference championship.
That was when LaPorta was injured.
Yeah. So here's a question I want to get into. Mm-hmm. The one thing that has to happen, I think you said last week Jaden had to be Superman, put his Superman cape on. And pretty much you were right. And I said the one thing that had to happen was Marshawn Lattimore had to play. They didn't have a chance without Marshawn Lattimore. And Marshawn Lattimore didn't play great by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what I expected, to be honest with you, after not playing a whole lot. I believe he's going to be better this week. Different challenge, different matchup, what have you. But if I said to you quickly, and we'll expand and we'll get to the calls on the other side, if there's one thing that has to happen in order for the Commanders to win, and give me the obvious is Jaden Daniels has to play well, yes. Does he have to play well? Does he have to play superhuman? Or is it something else?
He has to be Superman every week. I'm just going to get that out of the way. That will, every time you ask me that question, that will always be a part of my answer. But they got to outpossess Detroit. They have to outpossess the football. They have to limit Detroit's offensive opportunities. Their defense is a joke. Let's just be real about it.
The Commanders' defense?
No. Aaron Glenn's Detroit defense, to call it a joke is a hyperbole. Yeah, they're not strong. Littered with talent.
No.
They're not a group that does anything fancy ton or of complicated.
Yeah.
They've got a ton of injuries. They're soft in the middle up front.
I think Kirby Joseph is pretty damn good. I think Alex Anzalone is pretty good.
I compare their defense to ours. We're very similar from a talent perspective.
Yeah.
They're not littered with talent. I think it's about limiting Detroit's offensive opportunities, though. Because as well as Washington played defensively Sunday night, they also weren't on the field very much. Like, that's
fair.
The big key in that.
What would you say the number is? 36, 37 minutes, or can it be 33 minutes?
Well, Mike Tannenbaum says 32 minutes. Mm. He just gave a bunch of ways Washington could win, and
right.
I agreed with them.
I think that's...
Time of possession, to me, is the big one, because that's the big... Why, if we were looking at this game neutrally, and we're looking at it on paper, and I asked you, why wouldn't Washington beat Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
You would say because Washington's defense couldn't stop Detroit.
If you give Detroit 10 offensive possessions, they're probably going to score to some degree on 6 or 7 of them.
Right, so you limit their opportunities. I think that's the key to this game. I don't think it's overcomplicated, and I do think this... Detroit's run defense is, by the numbers, and I think the numbers are skewed because they've gotten out to a lot of leads and teams haven't been able to consistently run the football against mm-hmm. them, but they're giving up 4.5 yards a pop, yet they're third in the NFL in rush yards allowed per game. So I think the per carry average is more so what I would focus on when looking at Detroit's run defense, because, hey, look, when teams are able to compile and accumulate carries – teams have success running the ball against them. That's mm-hmm. what happens to Detroit. Now, they've only lost twice all year, right? Three times all year, right? The games that they've lost, I feel like outside of the Tampa game, you look at Buffalo. Buffalo went in there and ran the football really well. They were able to create big plays in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, and I don't know if I'm 100% right on this, when Buffalo played Detroit, how they defended Josh Allen, I would assume, would be somewhat similar to how they're going to try and defend Jaden Daniels. Didn't work at all. Josh Allen was Superman in that game. James Cook ran for over 100 yards and bust off multiple explosive runs. So I think that's really the key to me. I don't look at Detroit as a world beater. Maybe the fandom in me is coming out, and I'm like all high on Burgundy and gold.
I also think there's a difference to how you defend Josh Allen and how you defend Jaden Daniels, too.
For sure. Probably, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint of how they've defended mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know if it's a one-size-fits-all. And, you know, everybody's going to – and we have to go to the break. Everybody's going to look at the last time we saw Detroit's defense. Yes, you're right about how it went against Baker Mayfield in Week 2, where Tampa went in there and won, and how it looked against Josh Allen and Buffalo. And even Caleb Williams in the second half on Thanksgiving created a lot of problems. But I also look at how aggressive and how good and how on top of things they were against Sam Darnold. Different challenge, different quarterback, obviously different everything. So what I don't know is, are they going to blitz the crap out of Jaden Daniels? Are they going to play all man-to-man? Are they going to drop guys out? Are they going to have spies? What are they going to do? These are the things that we don't know, because obviously that's part of the game plan. All right, I'm going to give you my one thing on the other side that they have to do, and it's going to surprise you a little bit. Wait till you hear it next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the team wrapping up on the practice field today as they get set on this short week for a divisional playoff game against the Detroit Lions, as we've been talking about, on Saturday night from Ford Field in Detroit. Of course, we'll have all-day programming right here on the Team 980 throughout the day into the evening, and of course, post-game with the DOC, Toby, taking your calls after the game. Grant and I will be in Detroit for the first divisional playoff game in a very long time for the Commanders. Now, as far as coordinators drawing interest from other teams and head coaches, Joe Witt Jr. said he would not talk about any interest with the Jets. Cliff Kingsbury shut it down immediately. He's drawn interest from the Saints and the Bears, not the Dallas Cowboys just yet, at least reportedly. Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, Their former head coach, Mike McCarthy, is interviewing today in person with the Chicago Bears. That's their second known in-person interview. Their first was Ron Rivera over the weekend. The Caps with a 3-0 shutout win last night against Ottawa. Against Anaheim, they are off to Ottawa today and will play the Senators tomorrow night. Jacob Chychrun's return to Ottawa, where he was traded. The Pittsburgh Penguins struggling the last couple of years. They have placed starting goaltender Tristan Jarry on waivers, and that's what's trending.
The number. Here on the Chris Russell Show, take you to 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman will take you on your afternoon drive home starting at 4. We're discussing what Washington has to do. What is a non-negotiable for them to go into Detroit and win on Sunday? I actually think, and Chris, you're about to give your answer to this. I will recite mine. I really think the reason they were able to beat Tampa Bay Sunday is because they were able to possess the ball for 11 more minutes. And that 17-play, 93-yard touchdown drive that ate up
nine minutes and eight seconds
was a huge chunk of that. I think that same formula has to be replicated versus Detroit, but I'll add one more to it, and I hope this is not what you were going to say, and if it is, I apologize. I think because of the heavy amount of man coverage that they play, because of how often they're going to blitz, and I didn't realize the blitz numbers and the man-to-man numbers were as high as they were. Detroit blitz is third most in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I didn't realize it was that high until last week when I was checking Tampa Bay's numbers and I noticed Detroit was ahead of Tampa Bay. Yeah.
So here is the thing. Because that's the style that they play with, you got to get them out of that. How do you do that? Generating an explosive early in this football game. They did it against Tampa, and you didn't see much man-to-man afterwards after that big Terry McLaurin shot over the top. I think you gotta hit an explosive here. And you mentioned the way that they defended Justin Jefferson. I think Terry McLaurin's going to get similar treatment. It's going to be on the other guys to step up, man.
Well, remember, Terry and Arnold, who was a first-round draft pick, it was banged up in that game against Minnesota, and they thought he was probably lost for a while, and he's coming back. I mean, barring something weird happening here in practice, but he was a full go. So that's going to be interesting.
Terry's the wrong receiver not to have both wheels good against.
I said last week going into that game, I don't know if I said it with you, Doc, or on the Friday show, whatever it was, that they had to take a deep shot early on the first two drives. I think I said it not only on this show, but I also said it with you on the pregame show Sunday night. On the first two series, they had to take a deep shot to Terry or Diami, and they took it to Terry, and it took – now, they didn't score on that drive. They didn't score on that drive. But you put the fear of you-know-what in them, and you make them think, wait a second, if we go one-on-one on an island, we're going to run a double move, we're going to run a go route, and we're going to run past your ass. And that's kind of what you worry about on the other side, too, right? There's so much talk about Jahmyr Gibbs and all that. I do wonder, obviously, if we get a Jameson Williams deep go route or deep post on the first series or so of the game.
Chris, that doesn't...
And if that exposes how aggressive they can be, meaning Washington. But again, that's a different thing. You disagree?
About...
You don't think that's going to happen?
Washington hadn't allowed it all year.
Well, how many because times they haven't allowed it, I don't know how many times
has the top been taken off of this defense?
No,
this year?
You're right.
You can probably count it on one hand.
You're right. It hasn't. But I don't know
it's
if that
literally
prevents
the main principle of their defense.
I understand
they concede
that.
Other things to prevent that from happening.
I understand that, but I don't know if that means Ben Johnson doesn't try it. Ben Johnson is so cocky and arrogant. Well, whether
the middle of the field and Sam Laporta is going to be the issue.
Yes, and I think that's going to be a factor. I agree, but. I mean, you could run a deep shot to Jameson Williams in the middle of the field, too. Right? Like, if you have, think about it. And Joe Witt was asked, by David Harrison, I think it was, about Quan Martin, right? And he was talking about how Quan Martin, physical from the post, making tackles, but also as a single high when they, and again, you would think, right? You would think, like, to your point, you always point out they play light in the box, they play the most light in the box. Against Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, they're going to probably have to play heavier in the box, right? They're probably going to be a little bit on.
I don't know if that'll be the thing because
This is what we were talking about last week. I think they're so hell-bent on not giving up the chunk in the pass
game. The big explosive.
That they'll give up 4-6 on the ground.
I hope they play a little bit more conservatively.
Then they'll make teams score on you in the red zone.
Yeah. I hope they play a little bit more conservatively because I think if you if you get nosy and you start blitzing the crap out of Jared Goff, you might run into something, right? You might force a turnover. You might get a sack, force a third, whatever. But you could also, again, to my point, you could give up a big explosive over the middle to Jameson Williams. I mean, I have seen him run a deep post route way too many times already in his young NFL career. And I know he's inconsistent. I got it. But I have seen him do that. But then to your point, if you think that's what they're going to do, then Jahmyr Gibbs is going to kill you on wheel routes or in the flat. Then Sam Laporta is going to run a little in-cut route over the middle behind Bobby Wagner, behind Frankie Louvu. Remember, you're not going to have Jordan McGee in this game who started the game the other night for people that are kind of... I get it. But the point being is he started the game the other night. That is a somewhat... Anyway... I think we can go back and forth on all this about how Detroit's going to attack, how Washington is going to respond. Here's the one thing that I wanted to get to that, you said, limit ball possession. I agree with all that. I think I have all the respect in the world for Mike Tannenbaum. I think 32 minutes is too little.
Saying greater than 32.
Okay,
minutes.
All right.
The minimum.
Okay, if you use 32, 33 minutes, say, right? I don't think that's going to be enough. I think this game has to be, again, a 36, 37-minute type of thing. But you've got to be productive with those 36, 37 minutes. And reasonable logic would tell you you can't hold on to the ball for 36, 37 minutes if you're not being productive, if you're not 50-ish percent on third down. So, I mean, obviously all of those things. And, oh, by the way, yes, they're both going to go for it on fourth down, which leads me to my thing. Dan Quinn, we know, is going to be aggressive on fourth down. Here's what I loved about DQ the other night. We'll get to the calls in a minute. Just hang on. Here's what I loved about DQ. DQ was aggressive. How many of those came on his side of the field? Meaning on the Commander's side of the field versus the Tampa Bay side of the field?
I think none of them.
Right. Dan Campbell is going to go for it on fourth and one, fourth and inches, fourth and one and a half. At some point in this game, on his 40 or below. He does that all the time.
They got
all
stop
the time.
It, but like I don't
Linnell, if they in order to win this game.
I agree.
In order to win this game, they are gonna have to stop the one opportunity. Maybe it's more than one, but the one opportunity Dan Campbell is gonna give you, fourth and one, fourth and inches, fourth and one and a half on his side of the 40. Because again, I would say in today's day and age, it's pretty commonplace if you're in the midfield area or certainly in plus territory that a lot of these coaches are going to go for it on fourth and one, fourth and inches, fourth and one and a half, fourth and two, whatever it is. I'm talking about sub on his side of the field, the Lions side of the field, 40 or below. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. In that window, if he goes for it on fourth down and you can get a stop, I think you give yourself an exponentially greater chance to win this game.
I don't know. I agree with your premise. I don't know if they can stop it.
Well, I don't know if they can stop it either. But if they can, the one thing that has to happen is you've got to come up with that stop because that's a backbreaker. When you have to defend four downs as opposed to three downs against a juggernaut like this, that's not only a physical backbreaker, but it's also an emotional backbreaker.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, and this has been a problem. It's been a problem even during this winning streak. Cannot have any 15-yard personal fouls on defense. You cannot have a face mask penalty, which you had the other night against DA. You cannot have a late-to-the-quarterback hit, whether it's right, wrong, whatever. If they call it, right? You don't have to like the call. You don't have to agree with the call. You could see it from a Commander's perspective. They can't have it. You cannot give this team 15 free yards and expect to win. Even once.
Totally agree. It's going to happen.
Maybe once, but.
Chris, it's going to happen, though. It's the nature of football. Penalties are a part of it. it's really hard to not to play penalty. It's about when they happen, I think, is more so the thing.
But let me ask you this. Would you agree with me that a 10-yard holding penalty on Sam Cosmi, just for argument's sake, would you say that's the same as a 15-yard face mask penalty on Dorrance Armstrong or Cleveland Farrell?
I think the defense,
penalties.
Right, different penalties, and I think the consequences are different greater nuance, on offense.
Yeah. I think the consequences are great. Worse if they happen to the Commanders' defense, don't you? You think it's worse for the Commanders' offense?
Because I think they can't. They really struggle to function when they're behind the sticks.
I agree with that.
That to me is my big thing. I agree. They can over. So we're easy. You don't want either to happen. You can more easily overcome the defensive penalty is what I think.
See, not against this offense. Like, they were able to mostly overcome things against Tampa, and they've been able to mostly overcome things throughout the regular season. Against this offense, you can't give them an extra 15 yards. And obviously, it goes without saying, like, Marshawn Lattimore, he's probably going to be targeted. He's probably going to be picked on. You can't have like a 35, 40-yard defensive pass interference penalty. Got it. But you also can't. What you also can't have is, man, 3rd and 8. You get good pressure on Jared Goff. He throws an incomplete, but you get either a late hit on Goff one, or you get a defensive holding on the other side of the field. I mean, like, penalties like that against this team,
totally,
unless they're crapping in their pants for some unbeknownst reason to mankind, which does happen from time to time. I mean, they're not always a juggernaut. But
Detroit, right? Like, they've been human and pedestrian at times this year.
I mean, they lost two games. They should have lost 3 games because they won that Sunday night in Houston when they should have Goff did turn the ball over 5 times, and they should have turned it over 6 times.
Should have lost to Chicago on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, perhaps.
I'm just looking at it like, I don't know, in reality, you go up and down the schedule, how many signature wins are there for Detroit?
I mean,
you got Minnesota twice, but we all know that they were probably the most fraudulent 14-win team that's existed.
Oh, they beat Green Bay twice, right?
Beat Green Bay twice.
I mean,
they're in your division. I get it.
Yeah, not only are they in your division, how many games did Green Bay win this year? 10, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they didn't look great on Sunday, but that's partially because Christian Watson was out.
You know,
partially because they got screwed on that opening kickoff.
I'm falling guilty to it. I'm all in.
You think this is
I think we're going to be booking tickets to New Orleans. I'm all in.
Well, can we hold all up on New Orleans?
And this is what's hard about being like a true fan and not an industry plan. It's so difficult for me to like look at it outside of the lens of the fan. It's so easy for me to think of all the reasons they could win.
Yeah,
and that's fine. In turn, I naturally minimize the reasons they could lose.
Right,
I'm being a fan right now, and I feel uncomfortable.
And I'm being an industry plant by propping up the Detroit Lions. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say you're propping them up. They're a good team.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll get back to the calls as soon as we can. Hang in. We obviously wanted to settle some things down and kind of get more into a flow about the actual game script and what might happen on Saturday night in Detroit right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We've said what we have to say. What's the one thing that has to happen? Offense, defense, special teams, or what have you, for the Commanders to win in Detroit. Linnell says limiting possession, controlling the clock. I say when Dan Campbell gives you a chance, when he opens Pandora's box, fourth and one, fourth and inches, fourth and one and a half, whatever it is, on his side of the field, say 40 and in, his side, you've got to make that stop. If he gives you that opportunity, you've got to make that stop. What say you? Let's get out to it on the phones and talk to Frank in Charlotte on the Odyssey app. Hello, Frank. How are you?
Frank.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, Frank. What's going on?
Hey, we're going to send the chicken police after you, Rooster.
Well, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, Frank. I mean, they can find me at O'Hare International Airport on Saturday afternoon. In Chicago, as my flight gets canceled, that's supposed to arrive in Detroit at 5:30.
Oh, you have a connecting flight?
Yes, I'm a disaster.
The one thing I think that has to happen, the offensive line, and I'm just going to just point to the offensive line. I'm sorry. They have to grab down there like they have a pair. I mean, It's just as simple as that. And so it starts with that center, because a lot of times he's on roller skates, but a lot of times he's covering for the left guard who gets beat. And so they have to stay with their double teams. They can't allow double teams to get split. They can't. Now, you keep saying this is an underwhelming defensive line, but for some reason, when you have every underwhelming defensive line that we face, they've gotten better against us, or they've gotten well against us. So that the key is that offensive line. That's going to take pressure off Jaden. It's going to take pressure. It's going to take pressure off the receivers. It's going to make it more of a competitive game, a chance. If you want a chance to win, our O-line has to control it, and our D-line has to control it, the three techniques. They can't get out of that gap. They can't get washed down. They have to hold that gap. So, to me, it's the offense and defensive lines. And also that De'Ami Brown thing, that was Amon St. Brown. I think he was complaining that De'Ami got drafted.
Right.
He got drafted ahead of him. That's what he was. How in the world did this guy get drafted ahead
You're
of
right.
him? He's not producing.
You're right. Good
yeah,
call
that's
on
what
that.
It was about.
Good call
so,
on
so,
that.
But anyway.
Too bad Amon-Ra St. Brown too dumb to realize that De'Ami never had a quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You're right, Big L. You're right. But also that left tackle, that rookie left tackle, he's given up 9+ sacks.
Yes.
I know he's a rookie.
Yes.
That's a lot, man.
He got
that's
ambushed on that fourth down failure. Yeah. That was not good. There was pressure from the other side, too, but he really gave up that fourth down pressure and more on Sunday night. But, I mean, that's going to happen. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, and Frank, well, appreciate it. It's a good call. It's
going
to happen. When you run 69 offensive plays, guess what? Sam Cosmi's going to give up a pressure or two. I'm sorry. They're going to happen.
That's what's amazing about this offseason. Now it's going to be so much different. We're not going to be concerned with, well, who's the coach going to be or who's
right.
on the hiring cycle.
You can
We're
improve
to worry
the roster.
About the roster.
Yes.
And people are going to be annoyed by it, but I Brandon Coleman, I would be looking to upgrade left tackle. I think he's maybe more of a right tackle.
I don't disagree with you. 259, Team 980. More of your calls
that
coming
means
up
not
next
good.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.